to order, and we'll move on to item 1.1, which is the Pledge of Allegiance, which you can all rise. I'll be leading tonight. Put your right hand over your heart. Ready to begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Great. Thank you. Go ahead and call roll.
We'll begin roll call. Vice Chair Ritchie.
Here.
Commissioner Barbado.
Present.
Commissioner Hamilton.
Here.
Commissioner Georges. Commissioner Chavarria. Commissioner Redding.
Present.
And Chair Felice.
I'm here as well.
A quorum is present with Commissioner Georges and Commissioner Chavarria absent.
Great. Thank you. With that, we'll move on to item 4.2, which is public comments. At this time, members of the public may address the commission on matters not listed on the agenda, which are within the subject matter jurisdiction of the commission, provided that no action may be taken on off-agenda items unless authorized by public law. Comments are limited to 3 minutes. Do we have any speakers on off-agenda items? Nope. Seeing none, we will move on to item 3.1, which is approval of the minutes of the Orange Traffic Commission regular meeting held on April 9th, 2025. All right, we have the first and a second. I'll go ahead and call for the motion. With that, the motion passes unanimously. We'll move on to item 4.0, which is new business, and we'll start with item 4.1. And we have the report, please.
Okay. Good evening, Chairman and members of the Traffic Commission. Item 4.1 is for the request of blue curb along the frontage of 1025 Chelin Avenue. The city received a request from a resident asking for blue curb along the frontage of Chelin Avenue to help provide a convenient curbside parking space for them and their care providers to park. The 1,000 block of Chelin Avenue is situated between Cambridge Street and Gardiner Drive and consists of single-family residential properties. The property has a driveway which is utilized by multiple caregivers rotating throughout the home daily. The resident has provided substantial evidence demonstrating the need for blue curb parking spot on the street adjacent to their home, including to accommodate an access OC van for pickup and drop-off services. The site sketch illustrates the proposed installation of 22 feet of blue curb along the frontage of 1025 Chelin Avenue. Approval of this request will provide a designated location for individuals with disabilities to embark and disembark onto a vehicle. It should be noted that blue curb is still public parking and any person with a disabled plaque card or plate on their vehicle may use the curbside parking. If approved, the installation of the blue curb is for 5 years. At the end of the 5 years from installation, the proponent will need to submit a written request to the City Traffic Commission to review the approval of a 5-year extension. The proponent shall notify the city in the event that the blue curb is no longer necessary. Staff recommends the Traffic Commission approve the request for blue curb along the frontage of 1025 Chelin Avenue. This concludes my report, and I am here to answer any questions at this time.
Great, thank you. All right, are there any questions for staff at this moment? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and open the public portion of this. Are there any speakers? Seeing that there are none, we'll go ahead and close the public portion. Any other discussion on this? Go ahead.
So I did drive by the property, and the driveway would appear to me like it's an extra wide driveway, so it does look like it would fit maybe 2.5 cars in the driveway, and it does look like there would be an opportunity for the homeowner to expand the driveway to potentially fit 3. You know, my only concern with this, when I drove by, there was ample space for parking in the neighborhood. And so my question is, so the workers that are coming, if this is painted blue, would they be able to park here, or would they have to go park in front of other people's homes then?
The caregivers and the Access OC van would be able to park here.
Okay. Okay. Was there any notification that went out to the rest of the neighbors then for the blue curb?
Yes, we sent notification letters to a 300-foot radius.
Perfect. Okay, that's it. That's all my questions. Great.
Thank you. Any other questions? Seeing none, I'll go ahead and move it. We can get a second. AJ, Commissioner Ricci seconds. Go ahead and call for the votes. With that, the motion passes unanimously. We'll move on to item 4.2, which is the consideration of the request for permit parking on both sides of East Via Lardo Avenue, from South Hughes Street to the easterly, oh, that's a good word, terminus?
Item 4.2 is a request to implement permit parking on both sides of East Via Lardo Avenue from South Hughes to the easterly terminus. The city received the request from a resident of Via Lardo Avenue asking for permit parking to be considered on their street. The proponent explained an increase in demand for on-street parking has grown in recent years and believes it originates from outside the neighborhood. The neighborhood permit parking program requires that 75% of curbside parking must be utilized at time of observation. Using the dates and time provided by the resident, staff conducted parking occupancy studies. The first table shows the results of these studies. As you can see, Via Lardo exceeded the 75% threshold. Staff then circulated petitions to residents on Via Lardo Avenue. The neighborhood permit parking program requires 75% support for permit parking to be considered. The second table shows the result of the petition process, with Via Lardo achieving the required support. The aerial illustrates the proposed permit parking limits on Via Lardo based on the occupancy study and petition results. As a reminder, the neighborhood permit parking program does allow property owners on the adjacent street experiencing spillover to request a permit parking process be initiated within 1 year without having to pay the application fee. However, parking occupancy, petition thresholds, and any other requirements in effect would still apply. Staff recommends the Traffic Commission approve the request for permit parking on both sides of Via Lardo Avenue and forward this to City Council for final action. This concludes my report, and I am available to answer any questions at this time.
Great, thank you. Any questions for staff? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and open the public portion. Any comments on this one?
Yep.
Get back into this. Okay. Maria Chavez. If you can make your way up to the podium. If you can come up to the podium, it'd help us out a lot.
Had a question. I live another side. My destination is Philo, and I had the same situation.
If you want, after the meeting, you could speak with staff, and they'll explain to you the process.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Any other comments on this item? Seeing none, we will go ahead and close the public portion and bring it back to the commission. Any additional questions, thoughts? Entertain a motion. A second. We have a first and a second. We'll go ahead and call for the vote. That the motion passes unanimously. All right, we'll move on to item 4.3, which is a request for permit parking on both sides. Oh, excuse me. Yeah, both sides of, oh, excuse me, hold on. I messed up my notes here. Request for permit parking on the east side of South Swindler Place from East Chapman Avenue to East Almond Avenue, and both sides of East Almond Avenue from Swindler Place to South Olympia Way.
Item 4.3 is a request to implement permit parking on the east side of Swindler Place and both sides of Almond Avenue. A resident on South Swindler Place submitted a request to initiate the process for permit parking on Swindler Place. Due to its proximity to the existing permit parking area I and Swindler Place, Almond Avenue was included in the permit parking evaluation. The limits for evaluation are shown in the area map above. The neighborhood permit parking program requires that 75% of curbside parking must be utilized at the time of observation. During the dates and times provided by the residents, staff conducted parking occupancies. The first table shows the results of these studies. As you can see, both Swindler Place and Almond Avenue exceeded the 75% threshold. Staff then circulated petitions to residents on Swindler Place and Almond Avenue. The neighborhood permit parking program requires 75% votes in favor for permit parking to be considered. The second table shows the results of the petition process, with Swindler Place and Almond Avenue achieving the required support. The aerial illustrates the proposed permit parking limits on Swindler Place and Almond Avenue based on the occupancy study and petition results. As a reminder, the neighborhood permit parking program does allow property owners on the adjacent street experiencing spillover to request a permit parking process be initiated within 1 year without having to pay the application fee. However, parking occupancy petition thresholds and any other requirements in effect would still apply. Staff recommends the Traffic Commission approve the request for permit parking on both sides of Almond Avenue and the east side of Swindler Place, and forward this to City Council for further action. This concludes my report, and I'm available to answer any questions at this time.
Great, thank you. Any questions for staff? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and open the public portion. Any speakers? Second to switch screens again. Kelly Bingle?
I actually live off of Burley, and with regards to the permit parking, a lot of people, especially on Almond, actually moves into our street and the street next over because they don't want to pay for the permit parking. So how do we prevent them from coming over to our street because it clogs it, and then we can't park our own vehicles in front of our homes? Or can we get permit parking on Burley and Washington to prevent that?
So to answer your question, after the meeting, talk with staff. Since you're on the adjacent street, they can explain to you the process. We wish we had a really good answer for where the cars go when we, if we do implement permit parking here.
We need to be protected too, because then we won't be able to park in front of our streets. We've had multiple incidences where the people on Almond would say, well, I pay taxes. They're talking about sales taxes, not, you know, state taxes or city taxes or homeowners taxes. And it's like, it's not fair to us that can't park in front of our own homes because we have multiple, you know, vehicles for our homes. We have children, we have teenagers, we have future children who's going to be getting, you know, vehicles that our cars are only fit so many on our properties, you know. So that's just something to consider with the permit parking there. Like, we should either be authorized to get permit parking or some kind of statement saying that our properties should be protected so that we can park in front of our own homes. Yeah. Thank you for that.
You're very welcome. All right, any other speakers? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and close the public portion, bring back to the commission for any additional questions or considerations. We have a first, do we have a second? Commissioner Hamilton, thank you. With that, I'll go ahead and call for the vote. With that, the motion passes unanimously. With that, we will move on to item 4.4, which is consideration of time limits and curb restrictions related to paid parking in Old Town.
And Mr. Chair, I'll be recusing myself from this item due to a conflict of interest.
Great. Perfect. Thank you, Commissioner Rieke. Mr. Tay.
Yes, sir. Mr. Chairman, member of the Traffic Commission, the last item for your consideration tonight involves parking and curb use restrictions in and around the 8 square blocks closest to the plaza, kind of highlighted on the map on the right side of your screen. As you know, the City Council recently approved a paid parking program within these 8 square blocks. A number of related activities are currently in progress to implement that program, including procurement of a parking operator, purchase of equipment, setting up mobile pay, and integrating all these components together with our police department citation management system. But however, for paid parking to achieve the desired effect of increasing turnover for local businesses, it needs to be supplemented with time limits and actively enforced. In addition, there are a mixture of land uses in Old Town that require provision of cargo and passenger loading zones. And the council authorized the City Traffic Commission to review and approve curb management restrictions for this area. And to be clear, this agenda item is limited only to the curb management component of the program. So before we talk about the proposal, a little bit about the existing conditions. While there are already time restrictions on many streets and city lots within the paid parking footprint, these restrictions do have some limitations. Number one, they don't cover necessarily the entire footprint of the paid parking area. They have varying allowable time increments, as you can see, a combination of 1 hour, 2 hour, 30 minutes, 15 minutes, some of which may have been legacy installations that no longer represent the best use of the city's curb space. They have varying effective times that could be more efficient if made uniform. And further, there are 10 loading zones within the paid parking footprint, some of which appear to be no longer needed or could be rendered more functional with a few modifications. So some goals for the curb management plan, in developing what I'm about to show you, the following objectives we had in mind, kind of to the extent possible. Number one, use existing conditions as a point of departure, cover the entire paid parking footprint. Align the effective times of those restrictions with the times that paid parking has been approved for. Achieve consistency in the time increments to promote better driver understanding and simplify the enforcement process. And identify and address legacy installations that are no longer optimal. And finally, allow for post-implementation modifications based on feedback, experiences, feedback that we get from the motoring public and the businesses of any observed needs as they evolve in the field after the program goes live. So in terms of the curb management plan, there's two components, time limits and loading zones. So for the time limits, the idea is to standardize the time limits to 2 hour parking on city streets and 3 hours in city parking lots. In both cases, aligning the effective hours with the paid parking program, which is from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Sunday. And again, this would apply to all streets and lots in the paid parking footprint. Generally, the areas marked in green on this map. There's also the loading zones. These are going to be similar to existing conditions, what's already out in the field, with a few minor changes. What you don't see on the map were three loading zones on Orange Street that have since been removed. Those appear to be legacy installations, again, that are no longer optimal based on the adjacent land uses. The remaining seven loading zones are shown on this exhibit, with cargo loading zones numbered 1 through 4, passenger loading zones lettered A through C. We extended the Lemon Street cargo zone, which is number 4, from I think 35 feet to 80 feet, but just to give it more functionality for some of the delivery trucks. And modified the passenger loading zone on Olive Street in front of the Senior Center, which is loading zone B, to be effective only Monday through Friday, rather than also on weekends because the Senior Center is closed. Lastly, this set of restrictions really is intended to enable the paid parking program to move forward. It doesn't preclude future changes that might become necessary or desirable in the future. With that, staff recommends approving the curb restrictions described in the staff report, along with the associated traffic commission resolution, and I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Tay. Anyone have questions right off the bat? I do want to thank staff for putting this together. I know this is a tremendous amount of time to walk this probably multiple times and ensure that the best use, you know, outcome was there. So I do want to thank staff for spending the time doing that and taking the consideration. I don't have any other questions. I think it's pretty straightforward. So with that, I will go ahead and open the public portion of this. I assume there's quite a few speakers. Before we do get to the first speaker, I just want to remind everybody here, we won't be addressing paid parking. It's not under our purview. We also won't be addressing any permits that may be issued in conjunction with that. Our purview is only for the timed portion and the curb restrictions. Okay. Probably only six speakers, so we'll leave it at the 3-minute time frame. With that, we'll move to Bill Bland first, and then on up after Bill, we'll have Julie Turner.
Hello. I represent Sunlight Christian Center in Orange, and we are at Maple and Glissell. Part of what I wanted to talk about are exactly the things you don't want to talk about, which is the permit and the possible the pay portion. We totally understand what you guys are trying to do with turning over parking, just like a table in a restaurant needs to turn it over to be able to continue revenues coming. And we don't oppose that. That's not a problem for us. We totally get it. Our issues are just a little bit of we don't want to be negatively impacted by this. We are not a restaurant. We're not a shop. We're a church. We're the only church in the area that's affected by this, as far as I can tell. And we have our parishioners that are coming. They come, we've got about 150 people that are probably would be negatively affected by having no carve out or accommodation for them. I know that's not exactly what you want to accomplish right now, but I need to tell you. And with that, with those 150 people, they also bring patronage to the restaurants, to the shops. They come, they stay. We're looking for something that maybe accommodates Sunday morning from 9 o'clock to noon, something along those lines, that might make it not so punitive for those people who come and the staff that run the church. So all of those people are looking for a place to park. They're trying, it's already, you know, I've been going to the church since I was 15 years old. The church is 50 years old this year. So we've been there for a long time. We offer free services like free Friday night movies. We do free real estate classes on there. We have a food bank on Saturday mornings across the street at one of our other properties. So we're trying to be good neighbors. We're trying to be adding to the community, and we're looking for just some kind of accommodation that would make this not so much of a problem. Because you know as well as I do that human nature says if going to this church becomes too much of a hassle or an expense because you're having to pay for parking, you're going to find somewhere else to go. And with that also are those dollars for people that are having breakfast before church or going to lunch afterwards or shopping at any of those other things. So we don't want to negatively affect anything. We love Orange. We love being a part of it. We really appreciate you listening to us, and we're looking for some kind of thing that might make it a win-win for everybody if we can do that. Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. Julie, and after Julie, we have Jennifer Martinez.
Hello. I am here to talk about the parking, the permit parking related to I live at the flats, and we have no parking already. So if we put the metered parking there, then there's no place for us who live there, which there's quite a few of us. There's no place for us to park at all. So that's what I'm here to talk about.
I believe there is a carve out for the residences, correct?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, just briefly. The ordinance that was approved does allow for residential permit parkings for residents of mixed use buildings such as the flats. As we get closer to implementation, we'll be working with our property with our parking operator to develop a process by which residents can obtain those permits.
Okay. Thank you.
You're very welcome. After Jennifer, we have Gabriela Garcia.
Hi, everybody. It's my first time speaking at a council meeting, so I might be a little nervous. But I am also with the flats, a resident. I've been a longtime resident, over 10 years of the flats, and I've been a longtime resident in Orange. And I also have issue with the parking, and I'm concerned about not being able to get a permit parking, because what I've heard up until today was that it was not being considered. So I just wanted to give you a little context. Maybe I'm newly retired, so there's no way I can afford a parking meter with $2 for 10 hours a day. So, I mean, that would end up being more than my rent. So it would be very hard on me, and a lot of the other tenants it's hard on as well. But I do understand the city's need to increase revenue. But I just wanted to ask that you keep us in mind and consider us and give us the option to have parking tickets. The parking structure is inconvenient for me because I am pretty much home 24/7, and I do have grandchildren, and I cannot park in the parking structure 24/7 because it closes at nighttime. If I need to leave for any reason, I can't get out. So the parking structure is a no-go for me, but if you could come up with other areas, that would be great. I think that's pretty much all I have to say, is I just want to make sure that we're heard and that you do consider that you give us the opportunity to do parking permits and stuff like that. Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right. Gabriela?
Good evening, Chairman, Commissioners, and City staff. My name is Gabriela Garcia, and I'm here on behalf of LCP Tracker, a SaaS technology company that has proudly operated in Old Town Orange for over 10 years. We occupy two office buildings at 117 and 201 East Chapman Avenue, located directly across from each other in the heart of the plaza. We currently employ between 80 and 100 professionals, and that number is expected to grow. Our team contributes daily to the local economy, not just through our business operations, but by actively supporting the community. Our employees regularly buy lunch, grab coffee, shop, and bring family members to enjoy Old Town Orange. Many of our employees also commute long distance work here, and they rely on consistent, affordable parking to make that possible. With the proposed pay parking program, we respectfully ask, how will this program accommodate businesses like ours with a large number of employees who need reliable long-term parking to do their jobs? We operate on varied work schedules, including hybrid, full-time on-site, and 4-10 shifts. Could the city consider offering an employee parking discount or group rate for local businesses? For employees with disabilities who require close access, how will the city ensure that the accessible parking remains available, convenient, and affordable? We're also concerned about capacity. The current free parking structures in Old Town Orange already struggle to meet demand. They will not be able to accommodate all of our employees, plus the many other workers and tourists who visit the area daily. Finally, we must consider the financial impact. An employee working full-time on-site could be spending $50 per week or $200 per month just to park. That's a significant cost burden, especially for those managing tight budgets. We support the city's goals of improving parking turnover and visitor access. At the same time, we hope the city will also consider the needs of local employers and their teams who help keep Old Town Orange vibrant every day. We are eager to collaborate and work with the city to find a solution that supports Orange's growth while also respecting the financial realities of our employees. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Great. Thank you. Anybody else like to speak on this item before we close the public portion? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and close the public portion and bring it back to the commission for any further discussion, any further questions. We're happy to entertain a motion as well. We have a second. I'll go ahead and second it. Before we call for the vote, we understand that this there's potential for corrections in this. This is the first step in this phase, but I believe this is a good launching pad for this program, and we can continue to modify the times and curbs as needed, and just commission and council see fit. So I think this is a great starting point. With that, I'll go ahead and call for the vote. With that, the motion passes unanimously with Commissioner Ricci recusing himself. And with that, we'll move on to item 5.0, which is adjournment. That's it. Thanks, everyone.